Aufgepasst, da wir in dieser Folge einen englischsprachigen Studiogast haben, gibt es von dieser Folge ausnahmsweise zwei Versionen. Diese hier mit englischsprachigen Antworten und weiter oben in der Episodenliste findet ihr noch eine Version mit deutschen synchronisierten Antworten. Und für alle Hörfaulen gibt es das ganze Interview auch auf laut.de zu lesen. Viel Spaß!
Boss of Summer, der 80er-Podcast, ist zurück mit einer neuen Folge. Und so langsam beginnt der Herbst und deswegen ist es wichtig, sich einfach für die Herzenswärme ein paar Freunde in den Podcast einzuladen. Alex, du bist heute wieder mit dabei. Schön, dass du da bist.
Jawohl, hallo. Und für meine Herzenswärme mümmel ich hier gerade, obwohl es im Boss of Summer Dachstudio durchaus gar nicht mehr so kühl ist, an meinem Thymian-Tee, von dem ich gerade merke, dass der ganz schön stark geworden ist. Aber da haben wir auf jeden Fall schon mal die passende Einstimmung.
Auf jeden Fall. Und Thymian-Tee, das habe ich schon mal gehört von dir. Du bist Freund davon.
Ja, also gerade, ich versuche wieder reinzukommen. Es ist noch mit Ingwer gemischt, aber wir wissen ja, die Mischung macht's. Und für die perfekte Wurst-Summer-Mischung haben wir natürlich heute auch noch eine dritte Person dabei.
Was ist denn da los, Eckhard? Ja, ich habe keine Ahnung. Wir haben noch einen Gast auf jeden Fall und den ersten Stargast hier im Boys of Summer Podcast. Er hat Songs vom Schlager True, Through the Barricades und Gold eingesungen. Und Alex, wen haben wir da?
Natürlich. Vielleicht stellt er sich selber einmal kurz vor.
Hi, this is Tony Hadley here and you're listening to the Boys of Summer Podcast.
Jawohl, Tony Hadley, ex-Spandau Ballet, zu Gast im Boys of Summer Podcast. Wir freuen uns sehr. Und genau, wir können schon mal sagen, dass wir jetzt hier in den nächsten Minuten Tony ein bisschen auf den Zahn fühlen werden. Tatsächlich war Tony auch viele Jahre selber Radiomoderator bei der BBC, wo er eine kleine Show gehostet hat. Und deshalb kennt er ja eigentlich auch beide Seiten des Mikrofons. Und deshalb wollten wir einfach mal nachhören, Tony, welche Fragen kannst du eigentlich nicht mehr hören, wenn du interviewt wirst? Und welche Frage wird dir nie gestellt, obwohl du sie super gerne mal beantworten würdest?
I was doing my radio show up until not long ago, actually, on BBC. The question that I get asked an awful lot is, where did the name Spandau Ballet come from? I've answered that a million times. And the question I've been asked probably, I can't think of much that I haven't been asked. I've been asked questions on world politics, religion, British politics, how do you feel about the world and everything else? And so it's probably not, and also every aspect of the music business. So it's probably not anything that I haven't been asked, but you can try.
Jetzt ist es so, es gibt ein neues Boxset von Spandau Ballet, das die frühen Jahre von 1978 bis 1982 abdeckt. Das Boxset heißt Everything is Now, alles ist jetzt. Tony, wie fühlt sich das an für dich? Ist es wie ein Geschichtsbuch über Spandau Ballet oder ist es eher wie eine Schatztruhe?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen it yet. I've not seen it. I mean, I quit the band in 2017, although I did sort of give my blessing for this box set, which I think for us is quite interesting as well. I mean, there was a song called Eyes that's just been released, and I haven't heard that since 1978. So it was only a demo, quite unusual. But yeah, so I've given my blessing and everything else. And I think for the fans, I think it's really interesting. But also for us, I mean, you know, I'm not a nostalgic sort of person, so I don't go back and listen to old demos and everything. So when I finally get a copy of the album, it'll be quite interesting to see what's on it and what we sounded like when we first demoed some of those early songs that went on to Journeys to Glory. So, I'm sort of looking forward to it. Hesitantly.
Jawohl, wir uns auch. Und Everything is Now ist ja schon ein ziemlich bezeichnender Titel, wo wir uns natürlich auch fragen, sind die 80er heute genauso präsent, spirituell, sage ich mal, wie sie es, in den 80ern waren?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's something about the 80s that people don't want to walk away from. I mean, all those the kids that were there when they were sort of 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, whatever, they've all grown up now and they're married and they've got children. And now their children come along to the concerts, which is kind of weird. I mean, it was quite a defining decade. I mean, from, you know, if you look at sort of 1978, 79, when the Blitz Club opened in London and Billy's and stuff like that, I mean, Britain was changing quite drastically. And then into, you know, you had the Thatcher years, you had the fall of the Berlin Wall, you had the end of apartheid, you know, the breakdown of, you know, relations between the rest of the world and Russia were pretty, or Soviet Union were getting better and better with Gorbachev. And so it was a real, in terms of fashion, music, politics, economics, it was a very defining decade. And it was good. I mean, as I say, I'm not terribly nostalgic, so I don't go back and listen to Spandau Ballet's old records. I don't even go back and listen, you know, to my old records. I mean, once I've made a record and I've checked the mix, then I'm thinking about the next project. But yeah, certainly. I mean, also, you know, Live Aid. We've just had Live Aid, which was fantastic. Band Aid, and that was an event that really, really changed the world. I was involved in the Mandela concert as well. So there were some really significant changes in the 80s. And I suppose the music still stands the test of time. I mean, it's not all of it is brilliant. There was some really crap stuff as well. But if you listen to it on the whole, there's some really, really good music, and there's a legacy there. I mean, you know, I'm coming to Germany and touring Europe just a few weeks' time. And people say, you know, what are you going to be playing? Well, I'm going to be playing the hits. There's no point in not playing the hits, because that's what people want to hear and that's part of their lives. So it'll be True, Gold, Barricades, and Only When You Leave, Lifeline, etc. And plus a couple of new songs from the album that'll be out next year. But I think it's good to give people what they want, and they still want to hear some of those 80s songs, which is fine by me.
Tony, mich würde interessieren, du hast ja gerade eben sehr viele Hits auch genannt, Gold, Through the Barricades, True natürlich, und es gibt ja viele Bands, die sich ihrer Hits verweigern, die live gar nicht mehr spielen wollen, und obwohl natürlich die Fans es immer wieder erwarten. Wie ist da dein Anspruch? Du spielst sie, aber wie hältst du deine Klassiker frisch?
Yeah, I mean, I get asked a lot actually. I mean, you know, people say, you know, you've sung True and Gold and Through the Barricades. You've sung them a million times. How do you still enjoy them? Every audience is, number one, they're great songs. So I love singing. First and foremost, I love singing. So to sing those songs is great fun. I mean, I love just singing and belting out. I mean, Gold is, you know, it's kind of almost semi-operatic. And Barricades is my favorite Spandau Ballet song of all time. For me, they're great songs, and I'd be an absolute fool to deny my past. And also, you know, the certain those songs trigger memories. I mean, when the fall of the Berlin Wall was coming down, we were in Berlin at the time, Spandau, and there we were, you know, kind of chatting to the East German guards, and the East Germans were coming over in their little Trabants and stuff and selling bits of the wall. They found capitalism straight away, by the way. So there's and that night we played in Berlin, and when we played Through the Barricades, probably one of the most emotional moments, and those kind of memories stay with you. So I've got fond memories of the songs, and so have the fans. I mean, you meet so many people say True was my wedding song.
Beautiful
song, you know, we had our first kiss to. And I kind of think it's important as an artist to kind of give that to people. You know, and as I say, it's nice to do, you know, like a Queen song, which is always quite challenging vocally, because Freddie had the most amazing voice. I'm just lucky that I still love singing. I know what you mean, actually. There's a lot of, you get the feeling that some artists don't enjoy what they do. And every time you do a gig, it's a different audience, and there's a different, slightly different reaction. There's different people giving you, looking at you in a different way, singing along. It's a weird one, despite the fact that I've sung them all a million times. I actually still enjoy every time I sing them. I love it. It's great fun. I think that also the good thing is that I do throw in, we always do a Queen song, for instance, because grew up listening to Freddie and the Boys and had the good fortune to know Freddie and the Queen boys really, really well. And they were just amazing guys. And so we always do a Queen song. And it's nice to do, you know, two or three songs from, you know, new songs that we've written recently. And just say to the audience, you know, how do you, hope you like it. Hope you enjoy this new song. And it's and the new stuff's going down really well. So fingers crossed, you'll like it.
Genau, aber du versuchst ja auch beide Welten zu vereinen, denn du bist ja nicht nur weiterhin als Synthpop-Sänger mit alten und neuen Songs unterwegs, sondern du hast ja in den letzten Jahren auch so ein zweites Standbein mit Swing- und Big-Band-Shows angeeignet. Du hast jetzt zum Beispiel im Dezember zur Weihnachtszeit ein großes Big-Band-Konzert in der Royal Albert Hall. Was macht für dich den Unterschied bei diesen Auftritten wirklich aus?
The European tour that we're doing, and I've got to go back pre-COVID, because pre-COVID we were doing so well. In Germany, we were selling out and everything, and then COVID hit. And then, so we're trying to get back into Europe again and do some more shows. And, you know, we're still alive and we're still really good. And so the shows that we're going to be doing in Europe and in Germany are going to be the pop rock shows. So that's going to be pretty rocky. Last February, we did a swing tour of the UK, sold out, went fantastically well. So we decided to do a swing stroke big band tour this November, December in the UK. I mean, swing is still, and big band is really big business in the UK. So we've pretty much, I think, everything sold out now. So we've got the core band on stage, which is the rock band. Plus we've got, I think, 9 or 10 brass on stage. It makes a big, big sound.
Yeah.
The brilliant thing is that the musicians, all the guys in the band can play. They can play rock and they can play swing and big band. So they'll be playing in a different way. So we'll be doing songs like all the Sinatra classics, Tony Bennett classics, Jack Jones, Ella Fitz. And we're going to throw in a couple of like Only When You Leave really suits a big brass arrangement, you know, because it's that really suits that. So it's a real combination of Fly Me to the Moon, That's Life. If the album, the vinyl album that's coming out, is called If I Can Dream, which is it's a live recording of the Elvis Presley song, which is just such a beautiful and emotional song. So it's a completely different tour. Mm-hmm. There are any promoters out in Germany that want us to bring the big band to Germany, well, just give us a call. We'd love
All
to
right. do Und dann natürlich alle großen Promoter, auch den Boys of Summer Podcast hören, wisst ihr Bescheid, Tony Hadley holt uns diese Tour nach Deutschland. Wir bedanken uns. Vielleicht sind die beiden Welten aber auch gar nicht so unvereinbar. Ich frage mich, wie viel Swing steckte eigentlich für dich denn schon früher im 80er-Jahre-Synthie-Pop drin? Oder auch anders gefragt, Synthpop war ja so ein bisschen die zeitgenössische Musik damals. Glaubst du, unter anderen zeitlichen Umständen wäre aus Tony Hadley ein ganz anderer Sänger in einem ganz anderen Genre geworden? Vielleicht irgendwie ein Jazzer in den 60ern oder ein Grunge-Sänger in den 90ern?
Yeah, that's a point. That's a good point, actually. Well, I mean, my influence from Jazz and Swing and Big Band is comes from my parents, who would always play that kind of music on the run-up to Sunday lunch. And it was Pat and Joe said to me, look, you know, we know you love the Sex Pistols. We know you love Queen and the Clash and Roxy music. But really listen to the way that Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Jack Jones, Dean Martin, well, the way they phrase things. So I studied the way they sang quite intensely. Plus I took singing lessons as well from an opera singer. And between the swing and the opera, I ended up with my voice, I suppose. So I just love that kind of music. So if I hadn't found Spandau Ballet, then I could well have gone into gone full blown into big band swing music. Whether it would have worked in the 80s, who knows? But I love that style of music. It's fantastic. It's kind of timeless.
Ich würde nochmal zurück zur Boxset kommen und zu den Anfängen von Spandau Ballet in die späten 70er. Und da gab es ja in London einen legendären Club, den Blitz Club. Und hier beginnt vieles, was später New Romantic hieß. Wie erinnerst du dich an diese Zeit, an diese Szene und vor allen Dingen, wie hat das da in dem Club gerochen? Wie hat es geklungen und wie hat das ausgesehen?
I mean, all the people that became the Blitz Kids, if you like, were all punks. We were all punks. Punk music was fantastic. I would go and see three or four bands a week, and it was brilliant. And it was actually quite fashionable. But then, sort of after that, punk started to fade. Out of that, kind of morphed the so-called sort of New Romantics, Futurists, and it was about 78, 79. The Billy's Club and then the Blitz Club opened up, and it was just everybody was massively into to fashion, although we were just making it up, really, kids making it up. And I think there was a sense of opportunity that we hadn't felt for a while. I mean, if you look at Britain back in the 70s, it was pretty rough. There was definitely a sense of optimism, and there was a sense of people being really, really flamboyant. So people would be as outrageous as possible just to really piss off your parents, you know. So we would wear ballet shoes and frilly shirts and everything else. And Steve Strange would stand on the door. I mean, a lovely, lovely man. And he literally would tell you that you could or couldn't come in. One particular night, I mean, I've told this story before, but it is pretty poignant. He actually turned away Mick Jagger, because he didn't feel Mick Jagger was dressed appropriately, or he wasn't cool enough. And I remember saying to Steve, I said, "What, you turned? I want to meet Mick Jagger." But, I might have been this small 18-year-old kid, but I wanted to meet Mick Jagger, and he turned him away. But it was a really fantastic place to be in. People having a lot of fun, people were dancing. I mean, some of it comes across as we were all sort of being very serious and, looking at, were we reading Freud or Nietzsche or Jean-Paul Sartre? Not really. We were young kids having a bloody good time. But out of that came some very interesting people. Boy George, Midger was always there. George Michael was there. Marilyn. A lot of people used to come and visit, the guys from Heaven 17. So it was a real, it was a great time for music and fashion in London, and we became the sort of house band, if you like. And luckily enough, we signed a record deal, 1980. Cut long story short, went to number five in the UK charts. Thank you very much.
Tony, es gibt ja das Promotion-Video von eurer ersten Single To Cut a Long Story Short und da trägt Gary zum Beispiel einen Kilt. Wann hast du eigentlich gemerkt, dass dir Anzüge am besten stehen?
Well, I think the thing is when you're young and stuff, you're trying to be outrageous. There's some great pictures of us in Ibiza, and I had a suit then. It was a really cool suit, like an Italian suit, and so I love that kind of look. The kind of the frilly clothes and the futurist look was great fun. It was, but there was a club called Club for Heroes, and because every few months there would be a new club opening. So Club for Heroes, and that was all about Sinatra and swing music and everything. So everybody dressed in kind of really smart suits. To be honest, I've always liked that kind of fashion. And when the True period came along, and we had those kind of almost kind of cowboy suits on, sort of Wyatt Earp suits. Yeah, I mean, that just felt really good for me. But as an older person, I think you've got to grow old reasonably gracefully. And there's nothing worse than an old rocker trying to be like a young rock. So I'd rather take the Robert Palmer. I loved Robert Palmer. He was one of lovely, lovely man and a great musician. And he always looked super sharp. He always had a great suit. So as an older man, that's my look.
Dann gehen wir doch mal zurück in die Gegenwart. In den letzten Jahren haben sich ja auch so große Eintagesfestivals wie zum Beispiel die 80er Live hier in Deutschland etabliert, wo wir vom Boys of Summer Podcast natürlich auch schon mehrfach von berichtet haben, auch von einem Auftritt von dir. Da sind es ja meistens nur sehr, sehr kurze Sets, oft nur 15 bis 20 Minuten. Und natürlich wird da eventuell auch vertraglich erwartet, dass natürlich True Gold Through the Barricades gespielt wird. Ist es für dich eigentlich ein bisschen schade, diese Reduktion in dem Moment darauf auf die größten Hits? Würdest du da eigentlich lieber noch, ja, auch neuere Sachen platzieren? Oder sagst du, nee, so läuft das Spiel halt und du weißt genau, was du da zu liefern hast?
I personally, I mean, if you talk to any promoter or stage manager that I've done, I'm always saying, can we do another couple of songs? Because I 35, 40 minutes is not enough for me. I mean, I genuinely still love singing. My voice, touch wood, is I haven't dropped any of the keys. So I love to sing. So I feel that an hour. No less than an hour, really, but sometimes you're down to 40 minutes, which is restricted because True Gold and Barricades probably take up 17, 18 minutes of that. So sometimes it's quite frustrating, but I suppose it means you get to the bar earlier. There's always an upside.
Jetzt verrat uns mal, Festivals sind ja auch wie Klassentreffen. Also man trifft viele Weggefährten von damals und nimm uns einfach mal mit. Wie läuft das ab und wen triffst du da und auf wen freust du dich vor allen Dingen?
Yeah, I mean, it's always great bumping into your mates, whether it be the Human League or Bananarama or Go West ABC. I mean, so but Nick Kershaw, great friend of mine. Lee John from Imagination. I was with him last week in Italy. We did a big TV extravaganza, and he's just one of the funniest guys. Yeah, it's really good fun. I mean, it's we have a great time. And backstage is always, hey, how you doing? All right, everything good? And yeah, it's just a really nice feeling. Festivals, those kind of reunion festivals are great fun. I always enjoy them.
Du hast ja gerade eben über deine Stimme gesprochen. Mich würde interessieren, was passiert eigentlich so kurz vor dem Auftritt? So die letzten 5 Minuten, die letzte Stunde vielleicht sogar. Gibt es da irgendwelche, ja, Übungen, die du machst? Oder gibt es irgendwelche Rituale, die ihr als Band macht?
Well, normally about an hour before we're due on stage, the tour manager will be like, "Come on, guys, you got 1 hour to go." And that's then everybody sort of wakes up, right? Okay, we've got to go now. Because contrary to what people think, I think a lot of people think that musicians, it's all about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And if you go backstage on any gig, whether it be a rock band or pop band or whatever, the couple of hours before you go on stage, there's a tiredness. I can't explain it. Everyone just sits around, and it's almost just before you're going to go into battle or something. It's really weird. And then once you get the kind of someone blows the horn, is jump in the shower, iron your clothes, do all your vocal exercises or practice with guitar or drumsticks or whatever. So everybody starts warming up. And then we have what is called a 99, once we're all ready, which is basically a shot of vodka with a very small mixer in it. And we all stand around, and someone basically just says a quip, an anecdote from the day that's really funny. And we have the little saying that when we smash our glasses together, we then drink it, put it on our heads, and shake hands. Last minute ritual to the toilet, and then we stage, and that's it. So,
Okay.
well, I mean, the most important thing is the minute musicians don't have fun is the minute I think the audience knows, the audience can see it. And I've seen bands and artists, and you look at it and you think, you're not really enjoying this. And we just always enjoy playing. We just love playing. So it's good fun, yeah. And we have a great team. I mean, our crew are fantastic, who do all the sound, and our tech guys are brilliant. So yeah, it's a very, very smooth ship.
Wo du gerade die Crew ansprichst, es gibt ja auch Auftritte, habe ich bei YouTube gesehen, wo im Hintergrund ganz viele Tänzer sind. Was kannst du denn da sagen? Hast du da irgendwie auch Einfluss drauf, wie das abläuft?
I was going to say there will be no dancers on our European tour. The only time there are ever dancers, I do a lot of work in Italy, and we just toured Italy for 3 weeks actually, And for some, they love TV extravaganzas. They really love it. I mean, they with orchestras and bands, it's amazing. So they still really believe in music on television, which they don't in the UK anymore. But invariably, they'll have some dancers and they'll say, oh, you know, would you mind if we get some dancers to just dance behind you? And I just think, it's so bloody funny. So I just, yeah, whatever you want. So you get these dancers flying across the back of the stage. And it's what they love. They love that flamboyance and stuff. So I think it's quite fun. Only in Italy though.
Okay.
All right. So, und jetzt natürlich die großen Themen. Tony, wir könnten jetzt natürlich sehr, sehr viele häufig durchgekaute Fragen stellen, wann denn die große Spandau Ballet Reunion kommt. Aber sind wir ehrlich, du hast das Thema oft genug abgehakt und du hast sehr oft betont mittlerweile, dass du dich viel wohler und freier fühlst als Solokünstler. Aber kannst du uns vielleicht nicht eine Sache sagen, die in einer Band oder vielleicht auch konkret in dieser Band doch besser ist als Solokünstler?
As a part of a band, there's a camaraderie there. I mean, I call my band the Fabulous TH Band and we are a band. I mean, the next album we're going to make after this one, I mean, we've written songs together as well. I want to go away as a band and record the next album, maybe in, I don't know, wherever, France or Germany, wherever. But we spanned our belly. I mean, we had some fantastic times. It's such a shame that there's been such a fracture within the band, but we had some amazing times. I mean, you got to imagine five young guys from central London having a hit record, got to 1983, True was number one in 21 countries around the world, top five in America. You know, we achieved a lot as a band and we had our problems at times towards the latter part of the band. But for the most part, we had some great fun. I mean, there was always a bit of a clash between myself and Gary, but that I think that happens in all bands. But generally speaking, you know, even me and Gary had some great fun times together. And we were a pretty heavy party band, along with the Duranis and Frankie Goes to Hollywood. And we had some very fun times. So being in a band is about camaraderie. And it's also, you know, I talk to my band, you know, do you think we should do this set list tonight or this one? Or should we put this new song in? Or so I like the fact that they're there for me and supporting me. And that's the same with Spandau. That's the same with the Fabulous TH Band. So I'm very lucky. Very lucky.
Also viel kameradschaftliche Zusammenarbeit, egal in welcher der Bands jetzt, sagst du. Apropos Zusammenarbeit, wenn du es dir aussuchen könntest, mit einer Sängerin oder einem Sänger, egal ob tot oder lebendig, ein Album aufzunehmen, wer wäre das?
Probably Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra, for me, I mean, I've read every book about him, his life. He was an incredible artist, did some amazing thing. And interestingly, his career was up, it was down, it was up. And, you know, I look at my career sometimes and I've, you know, been right up there and then, you know, really had some tough times as well. But just sheer determination, you know, slowly, slowly kind of getting back up and getting people to recognize, you know, Tony Hadley, the singer, the solo artist. And, you know, for instance, the UK tour, as I said, it's, I think, bar a couple of tickets, it's sold out completely, which is fantastic.
Tony, ich habe noch eine ganz andere Frage. Und zwar wurdest du ausgezeichnet mit dem MBE. Also du wurdest aufgenommen in den Most Excellent Order of the British Empire. Und ja, wie lief das ab? Und wie muss man sich das vorstellen?
Well, it was unexpected. I didn't expect it. It was, you know, such an honor as well. Yeah, it was quite amazing, actually. One of the charities that there's several charities that I do work for and help to raise money for, and one of them being Shooting Star Children's Hospices, Shooting Star Chase Children's Hospices, and we give respite care, but we also look after children that are terminally ill. It's an amazing charity, fantastic. We're always looking for more money, so if anyone wants to donate. But it's a brilliant charity, and I've been working with them for many, many years, and they nominated me for an MBE, which was really lovely. And we went to Buckingham Palace, and my wife and my mum came along, and Princess Anne awarded me the MB. It was an amazing day. And then all my kids, all my five kids, we all met up for dinner afterwards, which was fantastic. But I think most people, to be honest, I mean, I don't do charitable things to get an MBE. You just do what you can. I mean, I'm blessed with a pretty amazing life. Like I say, it's been up and down, but I've got five beautiful kids, and my wife is, you know, she's been there with me through thick and thin. And so I've got a pretty good life. So you try and give a little bit back.
Ja, das ist einfach auch eine Arbeit, die vielen Menschen Hoffnung schenkt am Ende. Und wenn wir schon bei Hoffnung sind, vielleicht als letzte Frage, was schenkt dir denn Hoffnung in einer Welt, wo so etwas Positives und Faszinierendes wie die 80er immer noch so populär sind?
Well, as I said earlier, I mean, you know, Berlin Wall came down, Gorbachev, the breakup of the sort of old Soviet Empire, if you like, end of apartheid. So there's a sense of the 80s, I do think, gave a sense of optimism in terms of world politics. We need to get that back somehow. I mean, you know, this war between Russia and Ukraine is just scary. The Gaza Israeli thing, there's Sudan, there's wars in Africa, horrific things there, the threat of China with Taiwan. And nobody learns from the past. It doesn't, you know, what do you do? Destroy a whole city and then spend billions, destroy a city, destroy people, their lives, and people killed and everything else, and then spend billions and billions of dollars or pounds or euros or whatever rebuilding it. And eventually we all have to become friends. So it's detente will always come through. And I just think that you kind of wonder what are these people that are running these countries, what's going on in their head? Because if you talk to ordinary people, all they want to do, they want to earn some money, look after their family, take the kids for a pizza on a Friday or Saturday night. That's what most people want. They just want peace and to be able to live a decent life. But yet we've got these people in power that seem hell-bent on destruction at every turn. We never learn. I don't get it. So, you know, maybe the 80s, we should look at that and think, oh, things can be different.
Tony Hadley, ein Mann mit großem Herzen und großen Talenten, ganz egal ob im Synthie-Pop oder im Swing. Tony ist im November auch hier in Deutschland auf Tour und ich glaube, nach dieser Folge haben wir alle ordentlich Lust bekommen, da mal vorbeizuschauen. Vielleicht sehen wir uns ja vor Ort.
Ja, das ist doch eine perfekte Gelegenheit. Und damit ihr auch perfekt eingestimmt werdet in die Musik von Tony Hadley und Spandau Ballet, werden wir in unsere Spotify-Playlist natürlich alle großen Hits von Spandau Ballet und Tony Hadley einbinden. Und wir werden natürlich auch alles in unseren YouTube-Channel reinpacken. Alle Videos von Spandau Ballet, alle Videos von Tony Hadley. Und da könnt ihr dann natürlich nochmal nachgucken, hatte Tony Hadley 1980 wirklich schon einen Anzug an oder einen Kilt?
Genau, schaut einfach mal rein, youtube.com/@BoysOfSummerPodcast oder einfach nach Boys of Summer Podcast suchen. Und vor unseren obligatorischen Hinweisen auf unsere weiteren Kanäle freuen wir uns natürlich auch wieder total auf Feedback. Wie fandet ihr das Interview? Was hättet ihr noch gerne erfahren? Welche Fragen sollen wir Tony nochmal hinterher schicken? Wen müssen wir hier als nächstes unbedingt interviewen? Gefällt euch das Format generell? Wünscht ihr euch andere Formate mehr? Bitte, bitte schreibt es uns. Ihr erreicht uns auf Instagram unter Boys of Summer Podcast, auf Facebook unter Boys of Summer Podcast und natürlich bei Patreon. Da ist es nur Boys of Summer, glaube ich, oder?
Ist auch nicht so wichtig, glaube ich. Wichtiger ist natürlich, dass wir uns jetzt auch richtig einkleiden können mit dem Anzug. Alex, wie wäre das?
Ich bin ja noch so ein paar Jährchen von Tony altersmäßig entfernt und ich glaube, meine große Swing-Phase wird noch kommen.
Die kommt erst aber noch, nicht alles heute. Klar, ja.
Genau, erstmal sehen wir uns im November bei Tony auf Tour, sagt Hallo. Und bis dahin sagen wir Dankeschön für all die zugehört haben und natürlich Dankeschön, Tony Hadley.
Dankeschön. Thank you very much. Thanks for your time and see you when we get to Germany. Come along to the concert.